Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Canterbury. Welcome to the Gulbenkian Theatre. Please welcome a man who's hoping he's going to get proposed to today. It's the 29th of February for people listening at home. It's Richard Herring! I don't believe it. Hello! Hello, welcome. It's so lovely to say thank you. Thank you, Kent, for coming to see the show. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lamenting St. Thomas podcast. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Chaucer and Becket, it's all you've got. It's like it's 854 years ago since Becket got killed. Still fucking going on about, aren't you? It's all you've got. Although Chaucer and Becket would be a good ITV2 drama about detectives, wouldn't it? About people setting up their own detective agency. I'm going to write that. Chaucer and Becket. But I was talking to Canterbury-born Orlando Bloom the other day. It's not all the old people. He was eating green powder, brain octane oil, a collagen powder and some protein before going out for a hike before breakfast. Have you seen his life in the day? That's genuinely what he eats before breakfast. He calls it Rehalist, but anyway, he's a nice guy. The tragic news for me, but I was last here in 2019, I believe, at the Marlowe Theatre, and in 2020, the Canterbury Tales experience closed down. You tales of Robin Hooded me, you guys. I thought only Nottingham was stupid enough to close down. Oxford Story's gone as well. It's almost like setting up a tourist attraction full of dummies in badly fitting wigs, isn't? Was there a little ride in Canterbury Tales? Did you sit on something and ride around? That's why. You need a little ride. I'm devastated. The big news in Canterbury, as we record, is there's been fury about the silent disco. Not because it's a silent disco, which, you know, it makes me furious. It's one of the biggest twats in the world. But I've got what someone said about this. But it was the silent disco in Canterbury Cathedral, and the Christian community are cross about this. Let me tell you what one person wrote on the... This is it. Jesus overturned the market stall holders' tables in the temple in Jerusalem and declared, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." I suggest the CV refer to the Bible and really examine their conscience as to whether this gathering should be allowed in the house of God. There's nothing about silent discos in the Bible. I'm telling you, it's not. So it's ridiculous both ways. I mean, it's not a house of thieves, it's a house of utter pricks. It's quiet as well. I mean, I do it if you want to do it. And then the day they're saying it only raised £10,000 for the cathedral. Sounds like pretty good news to me for the... So anyway, well done, Canterbury. That's the controversy in Canterbury. Look, before we crack on, I would just say, I hope you've got a program at the beginning. I'll mention this again, but that's a free gift and you can take that away. After the show, as usual, I'll be making a collection for Scope. There'll be people with buckets on the way out. So if you feel like giving a donation, that would be lovely, but you don't have to. I will be by the box office after the show if you want to say hello or get a selfie or get me, I can sign the program. I am selling some stuff. I'll tell you some of the stuff I'm selling now. And if you come back next week, I'll tell you some of the other stuff I'm selling. I've got my book, Can I Have My Ball Back? Which is, I don't like to talk about it, but I've had testicular cancer, and that's my book all about it. Soon to be a show that isn't coming to Canterbury. maybe on another tour. How Not to Grow Up is a book about all the rubbish, stupid things I got up to when I turned 40, and I've got very few copies left of The Problem with Men, which is all about... International Women's Day. On International Women's Day, I would do that thing where men ask when's International Men's Day, and I would tell them. And one of them was, I was here. I was one of the early ones. I was here and doing a show in the evening, and I remember sitting in my dressing room going, it's November the 19th, a lot. So it's weird that I remember that from this. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that later. I think we can crack on. We've got amazing guests for you this week. They're probably best known for playing Jeff Malick in All Creatures Great and Small. Appearing on The Hole in the Wall, which I'm not quite sure what that one is. That could be quite exciting. Unfortunately, I know. I hope that was Jim. Please welcome the amazing Jim and Nancy Moyer, ladies and gentlemen. Jim and Nancy. Here they are. Hello. Come in. Jim and Nancy Moyer. Both looking amazing, I have to say.
Thank you. Oh, my word, you just said Hole in the Wall.
Hole in the Wall, do you remember Hole in the Wall?
That brings back memories. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing? Yeah. Yeah, that, well, that's good to be used to a dustpan and brush with a fork in it.
Are you
going to
do some cleaning?
You need a microphone. You need a microphone.
Have I got one?
Yeah, I hope so.
I think you might be sitting on it. Oh, you are?
That's how they came up with the idea for Hole in a Wall. They're sitting on a microphone.
Hole in the Wall.
It does bring back memories. Yeah. I think the cheeky girls were on there.
Were they? It was a very impressive line.
And one of the cheeky girls lives... lives with my son-in-law. Our son-in-law works with one of the cheeky girls in an Audi garage.
Yeah. Well... Fact.
Yeah.
Did she works in an Audi garage.
She works as a receptionist, yeah.
My God.
Ooh, cheeky, cheeky.
Oh, that's terrible.
Why is it terrible?
I thought they'd still be working together.
Were they going to have such a long career?
I just assumed they were still going somewhere.
They're working, you know. She's doing all right. Selling Audis.
Amazing.
And I was
stuff.
Jeff Maddock in All Creatures Great.
Yes,
yeah, how was
were.
That?
It was really good. I was at, what do you call them? People who chop meat up. Abattoir.
Oh, having an abattoir.
You look lovely.
An abattoir,
you look very lovely in that photo.
It was very, yeah, it was good fun.
Did you have to research? Did you go and do method acting, how to work in an
no,
abattoir?
No, I did. I had it was over three episodes and it was all filmed in one day with different directors. And so I decided to play it with a question mark after everything I said. And the second director said, "Can you not do the question mark?" I said, "Might be a bit late for that because we've already done one of them."
Can you give us an example? Do you remember one of the lines?
Well, it was shocking. It was like that. It was Mr. Elliot. When it was clearly him and he knew him.
Didn't the director say, "Can you try it again? Do that again?"
No, he said, "Can you do it without a question mark at every end of everything?
Can you do it without a question?
You come for some meat?"
Well, that is a question. Have you come for some meat? Yeah. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it for that one.
That's got a valid question mark.
You should have not done it when it was a question. That was, it should have been up. But then, have you come for some meat?
Have you come for some
meat? Good. Look, it's lovely to see you both. And I've really been enjoying, let's talk about painting birds.
Painting birds.
Yeah. Jim and Nancy.
Well, yeah, it was... It was a few people, a few BBC, Channel 4 and Sky Arts all wanted to do the same kind of programme, which was me painting birds.
Yeah.
Because I'm a young ornithologist.
Hang on, Jim, sorry. What were you painting?
Birds. So I said, yes, I'll do it, but can I do it with my wife, with Nancy?
Hey, you know, why
and
not?
I said yes. So, and it's great because we just go around doing what we do anyway.
Yeah.
And get paid for it and get taken places.
Get taken to the most amazing places.
Yeah.
And we have a brilliant time. So what more can you ask for? No, bird watching, painting, fun.
Yeah, it's a lovely show. It's a nice, gentle show.
Yeah.
Bob and Paul have taken fish. You've taken birds.
Yeah.
And now
yes.
There's very little left for the rest of us. I'm thinking of doing insects. I mean, insects, I'm not sure there's a what show in the van going around looking for insects.
What do you fancy doing?
I don't know.
Herrings?
It could be.
Spiders?
Yeah, maybe. Know. I think maybe crabs. All the different kinds of crabs.
Crab search.
Crabs,
I
including sexually transmitted crabs. That'd be one episode.
That's only two shows, though.
And then I just hit them with a hammer. Because I can't paint. Well, it's nice. You don't kill anything.
You can't hit anything with
you're
a
just,
hammer.
You're just drawing.
So you
and
go around hitting pubic crabs with hammers on people.
Ben, what's listening? Me and Lee Francis from the Bow Selector. That's who it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's working already.
Yeah.
Would you lot watch that? Yeah.
I think I would watch that. Us hitting crabs.
That was quite a weak response.
One response from over here, yes.
It's more than it is.
I suppose so.
All right.
Yeah, I saw the Christmas episodes I saw first, which is lots of fun, but it's a family affair. You've got grown-up twin daughters.
Our gorgeous girls, Lizzie and Mel, were with us. They're nearly 18.
And we went to Finland to see waxwings, but it was... It's a long way. Have you ever been?
I have been to Finland.
It took us forever to
and
get there.
We were on the flight coming into Helsinki. And there was a motorway down there. And I thought it was a very good little gag. And I said, look, it's the highway to Helsinki. Which I thought, I was looking forward to that being in it, and they cut it out.
Oh. I laugh at all your jokes, don't I? What? I laugh at all at Jim's jokes.
You do.
I wouldn't say it was the peak of my career. But
he does make me laugh.
He does make you laugh. Yeah. You know, and you two are so lovely together, and you've been together for a good, 90 years.
Yeah, 21 years married in Jam, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And 22 years together. 22, yeah, amazing.
22 years, you seem to really... I mean, I hope it's not a pretense and you...
I hate you.
My wife does not find me funny at all.
Does she not?
She does. She finds me the opposite of funny.
Really? Yeah.
So, I mean, we get on quite well, but she does not laugh at anything I say.
Does she really go into another room to do it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We do. We have a laugh.
We have a right laugh, didn't we?
You do.
But it's like, because I saw a newspaper article from early in the relationship and sort of and snide and thinking, oh, well, there's an age gap, which there is in my marriage as well. But, you know, and as if that was,
oh, we had a lot
it's
of
not
that.
Gonna work. It's not, and you were, you're, you know, you're so happy together.
I don't know why they didn't want us to work. That's so not fair. Yeah, it was always like, yeah, that would never last. The age gap's far too big. 15 years difference.
Everyone I know has got an age gap like that.
Yeah, I don't see it.
What's your age gap? 50?
30.
50, 30 years.
13.
Is your wife 30, in her 90s?
I'm a gerontophile, that's fine. If they don't get as much press as the other ones.
Yeah, we don't care.
But it's not, you know, and you mentioned it backstage, but the thing where you dance together on Instagram is so, you look like you're just having so much fun in
your
life.
Yeah, we went back there today, didn't we?
We haven't done it for a long time.
No. So we went for a walk this morning and Jim said, guess where we are? I said, in a lovely forest. He said, yes, but this is where we did our first dance. So, of course, we had to recreate it, didn't we?
Tell the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, why have we started doing it?
We started doing it because I was on Instagram and I really needed it to get to 10,000. And I said to Jim, I'm trying everything. What do? I don't know how to get to 10,000 followers. I'm not going to buy them. No way. I refuse. And Jim said, I've got an idea. Let's go and do a dance. And we did.
It was a very weak-willed dance. But it got the followers. Imagine if someone, like, you know, 30 years ago had said, I've got 10,000 followers.
It does sound weird.
Walking but... in single file behind me.
And I got them by doing a funny dance.
But... When we did that dance, I just can't stop laughing. I try and just be serious. I can't.
Well, that's a bonus.
I always say that to you when you did Catterick. How did you get through one line of, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know it's like acting and you need to do it.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how you got through
it. We did
it.
When we were filming Catterick, there was Bob and me and Mark Benton in a porter cabin.
And as you do.
Benno, Mark Benton, had to say... we were talking about a garden centre, and his line was, oh, it's much more than a garden centre. It's got fragrant candles.
And wicker shit. And wicker shit.
And he couldn't get it. He couldn't say it. So I said, right, what about if the camera's just on you and we leave? So we left. We left. And he still couldn't do it. So the eventual outcome was that the cameraman left. He was in there on his own. He'd turned the camera on and then come out when he'd got it right.
And he never came out.
And after about 15 minutes, he came out and it was a big round of applause. And he said, I'm good, yeah, I got it.
That's your fault. You make him laugh too much.
So, that's yeah, brilliant. So it's lovely that you've got a TV show, which is the essence. I mean, I like it because I would say I'm terrible at art. And I know you say in the show... Everyone can be an artist, but I could not be an artist. I'm not an artist. I'm absolutely terrible. But it's so lovely to watch you and that you have guest artists on and to see how you all create those.
It's like magic. Those,
it is amazing.
It's magic, yeah.
And it really makes you sort of appreciate the birds as well.
Well, yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. And I do it every day. I was in my studio today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get excited in the morning. I get a bed excited. I think, oh, I can't wait to get up in the morning and do
that's
that.
That's not to do with me. It's just terrible.
And get up early at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
And get in the studio and start painting.
Oh, it's reminding me of a story, but I shouldn't.
What, when I did it naked?
Yeah. Well, basically, I bought Jim some pyjamas for Christmas. And in the morning, Jim had disappeared. But the pyjamas... was still there.
I didn't want to get him dirty.
So he was down painting with just his DMs on.
But that's okay. That's good. And it's a lovely change in career. Well, it's not a change in career because you've always been doing this, but you've sort of left the comedy mainly behind, right? And the acting mainly behind.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do it now. I appear on a stage now and then.
Yeah.
Not very often, because I'm quite happy just being at home and in my studio and out with Nancy. And so we do, you know, our TV show is a bit of a kind of... I thought, I don't really want to do telly anymore. And
then this came up.
And then immediately changed my mind. Because it was something that I really wanted to do, and it's just...
Yeah, but
really
it's also, you've got it on your own terms, and, you know, you can... Yeah, yeah. It's you doing what you want to do, isn't it?
So I get excited at knowing birds now. I mean, that... you know, I actually know certain birds, and I'm so happy about it. Do you know what I mean? It's weird, but like, I'm like, oh God, you know, crested it, this, that. Just
you do know them now, don't you?
I'm getting there.
And I think because of the art, you know, it does, because painting them and taking the time over them, or expressing them in whichever way, you do suddenly realise how many amazing varieties of birds there are, and how, you know, beautiful loads of them are as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I started doing it when I was a kid. That's what we did when we were kids, before laptops and game consoles. We went out and looked at birds. And all, me and all my friends did. We were all young ornithologists. You either did that or you played football, and I wasn't very much good or care for football. So
no.
I was out. I mean, you know, we were looking for birds' eggs as well.
Right.
At that time. You know, it was a naughty thing to do, but we did. And so I just got to know all... When you're young, when you're, let's say, 10, everything lodges in there.
Lodges in the brain.
So I'd spend all day and night you know, looking at bird books when I wasn't out looking at the real thing and wildlife in general. So, and it all lodged in there.
I think that's when I first met you. You were showing me loads of birds.
Well, it's always been there, but then I was diverted by the high life.
Yes.
That's on TV. And then I sort of returned back to it.
Yeah. The thing I think about birds... they used to be dinosaurs, and it's a bit pathetic what they've become in it. It's just, it's a bit of a come down.
Can you imagine if they were that massive, yeah, flying towards you?
I just sort of think, I have some pride in yourself. You used to be dinosaurs. Look at you now, eating worms. Pathetic.
Oh.
What do you think about that, Jim?
Would you like to go back to those days?
I'd like to go back to the days. Well, the dinosaurs, you know, it's a shame they... Just that asteroid, it's a bit of bad luck, isn't it, for the dinosaurs? Good luck for us.
I've been asked to do a commission of a painting for the Natural History Museum in commemoration of there's a new skeleton turning up.
Right.
So I'm going to do a painting of a dinosaur skeleton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. I didn't
can't wait. Come
of the skeleton or of what they imagine the dinosaur would look like?
No, they've got a new skeleton.
Right.
A new fossil.
Well, so right. You're going to be painting that?
I'm not actually painting the fossil. I'm going to paint a picture of it.
That's what I mean.
I don't even know what it is. I keep asking, what is it?
That's what I mean. What is it?
They won't tell me.
You don't know what you're doing.
Well, let's talk about the book, because as we talk about birds, let's talk about the book. And there's another one coming out soon, but this is Birds by Jim Moyer, which is all your beautiful drawings of...
Beautiful.
Beautiful drawings.
And there's nice facts birds. In there.
And there are very good facts. My favourite one was no one knows where house martins spend their winters. That is my favourite, which sounds like a Reeves and Mortimer joke.
Yeah.
That's the problem with these. I kind of wonder how many of them are true, but...
Well, it's not necessarily true.
I love that you picked that one.
Yeah, that's why.
I won't go into details, but yeah, they do.
But you can take that around with you when you go bird watching. So yeah, it fits in your bag.
But it's lovely. There's a herring gull in there, so I'm very pleased about the herring gull.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing a show tomorrow within our, because we've got a new series coming out in
about April, May, isn't it?
April, May.
Yeah.
They haven't told us yet, but it's about them. We filmed it about a year ago, but in addition to that, we're doing one with kids starting tomorrow, and we're going to be looking at herring gulls.
Yay!
They've got a little herring gull fact.
They've got a little red mark on their beak.
Do you know why?
Because I've read your book. Yeah. The little baby herring gulls peck at that when they want some food.
Yeah, yay! I did not know that. They aim for the red spot.
Yeah. Have I got the red spot? I've got a red spot here.
You're a herring gull.
It's how did it come about, the book? Is it just because of the series that they wanted to do?
Did you?
No, it was before the series. Yeah. So it was I just got offered to, you know, do a book. Because I'd done a book of art of paintings.
Yeah.
And so that just was just the next step. And the new one is called More Birds.
With
better paintings.
But guess what's
should
in
be
it?
More birds with better paintings.
And how but does it take you? It must take you a long time to put together the book.
Well, I paint them and then turn them into prints or sell the originals.
Yeah. You've already got them,
haven't
you?
They're
already
there.
Yeah, they're already there.
So yeah.
Our house is surrounded.
Yeah. it's interesting because these are so realistic and like and then other parts of your other works of art are sort of comedic or sort of surreal. And I really like them. You've got those art things that are like cans of Spam and stuff that are all a bit kind of wonky in their perspective.
Nice and bright.
I did loads of prints of those because, I mean, you're kind of guided by Instagram. People go, oh, I love that. It's fantastic. Make some prints of this. So I do. And then no one buys them.
Someone bought the Spam the other day, didn't they? At your exhibition.
Well, the original one.
Yeah, the originals,
But I thought that would be great to go in cafes and restaurants around, you know. So it was tins which looked like they'd been dropped from a great height.
I love it when Jim walks into the kitchen, he's like, what do you think? And I go, I like it. It's different.
But I did lots of tins of tinned fruit, like pears.
Is that why we keep buying them, don't we now?
Well, I started getting them because I wanted to paint them.
Yeah.
And they're a real kind of 70s thing, isn't it? You know, you get Angel Delight on your
peaches. The twins have been having peaches and custard.
Our twins love them now. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, so it's like we've got a huge stock of them.
We've got loads.
No, no Sky TV show on that one of you going around with different cans of fruit.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah.
Painting different cans of fruit. So, but it's, you know, it is, it's in, it's great to see you, you know, to obviously all along. You, I mean, you studied art and everything, didn't you, early on? But you were sort of, even when you started doing the comedy, it was sort of an art thing rather than a comedy thing.
It was, and your mate Stuart Lee wrote a book about it, didn't he? He said there's certain comedians come from different areas, and he said, and I was under the category of art school comedians, and I think it's just me and Noel Fielding. But it is true, because it was just like when I started doing it, it was just an extension of art. It was doing a performance piece on a little theatre, but I used to do it. Started off at a pub in New Cross, and I used to make all my props all week, and then wheel them, take them in a wheelbarrow through the streets, which is a work of art, and then dump them on the stage and use them. And just before I was on was Lily Savage.
Oh yeah, you said. Yeah.
So I used to get the crossover crowd.
I love it.
I used to walk in. Like, Lily Savage would be on there, and I'd walk in with me wheelbarrow full of rubbish.
I would love to have seen that.
But it's so, I think because a lot of that stuff was so handmade, and you know, and that was the joke of it. It is lovely to see you saying, going, well, look, this is what I can do as well. You know, the it's just, and watching you create the stuff, I think on the TV show,
it's amazing.
It's really beautiful.
What's it? Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. It's good. Do get this Birds by Jim Moyer. Is the second one
More Birds?
It's coming out in October, I think. Yeah.
Right, they're unbound, right? So people can kind of pledge for them.
I think it's closed now.
Is it?
Yeah.
For Birds 3, will you run out of Birds? There are enough Birds.
No, never enough.
It's never enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never know. I might venture beyond Britain. And
yeah.
And see what's knocking about.
Oh,
in France.
We'll go to Spain.
Go to France. It must be harder to draw some of those foreign birds, though. They're not.
No,
they're all the same template, the English birds, right? And you just have to change the colours.
Well, you see, a lot of people have never seen some of those foreign birds.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Look, Nancy, I want to talk. There's lots I want to talk to you about. Because, you know, I've not
Shall
had
I
you
leave?
On before.
Yeah, no!
You can go. I'd like, first of all, on the Wikipedia page, it says you are the...
I'm going to have a fisherman's friend.
You have a fisherman's friend while I talk to Nancy. You're allowed to join him. You were the face of Pampers.
Black Current.
You're the face of Pampers. Was your face on a Pampers?
Hampers.
If anyone was going to be the face of Pampers out of the two of you, I'd say it would be
say
Jim.
Anne Summers, no. No, I don't know why it says that. But when the twins were little...
Yeah.
We did. The twins and I did get like a Pampers campaign, but right. I don't know why they said I was the face of it. That just looks like I should be wearing a nappy on my head, or something. You know,
or no, just your no. Just you open the nappy and your face is inside the nappy.
How freaky would that be?
It would be pretty unpleasant. I mean, it'd be unpleasant.
But just want to clear that up. It wasn't like I was. I don't know why it said that, but yeah.
I thought that was good. But you were a model before you met Jim.
Yes, been a model for a long time, and that's how I met Jimbo. Actually,
So, how did you meet?
So, hello.
He's back.
Eat your fisherman's friend. I was booked basically to do a job, and they said, we've got this job with Vic and Bob. You know, I'll be honest, the money wasn't great. I'm just sorry. It's just, you know, when you're a working model, and then my mum was like, why are you hesitating? Like, just go for it. You're going to have a great day. I went, yeah. So I did. Yeah. But I went along and we met and...
And we did. It was kind of like a... like...
Not then.
Well, we were dressed up in military gear. And we
You were. Oh, yeah, Bob was. Yeah. I wasn't wearing much. I had a bikini on, basically.
Yeah. Well, we wanted... It was a bit carry-on. We were doing a kind of carry-on thing, so...
It's like, oh, matron.
And I think when we first met, we were firing off a pair of machine guns.
Yeah. Yeah, you were, you and Bob. And then we just were doing silly little things. But I just remember meeting Jim and thinking...
Then we got on really well.
He's lovely. We just got on so well, didn't we?
Yeah, so we did that. And then I kept your model card. And then I kind of...
He was like, I'll have that.
Yeah, I shoehorned Nancy into being on Shooting Stars. Pushing a wheelbarrow, incidentally.
Jim, was it the same wheelbarrow? I'm just like...
No, it was a different wheelbarrow. Sorry to ruin your expectations.
But it had a pigeon on it, and I had to lift it, and it would say, my shoes hurt, my shoes hurt, to the little boot. I know.
And then I was
in a bikini again. I mean... Yeah. It's a scratch record going on here.
I mean, I understand why Jim wanted to be with you. What I don't understand is the other way. What I'm trying to get at the bottom of is the other way around. But he obviously hypnotised you with those machine guns.
I'll tell you what, that was it. And also his very sexy suit. So I was like, hello, baby. I don't know why I said that. That was in my head. I just said that out loud. Oh. Yeah. Going red.
But look, you know, when it happens, you know, it's a wonderful thing when you meet someone and you know.
And yeah. That was it. We met. Rest is history, literally, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Am I right? Right.
That's right.
Lovely. And look, I want to talk. You were Greta in Love Actually. Yeah. Which I did have to look up and see who Greta in Love Actually is.
Yeah,
so it's a problem.
They made a bit of
it's a problematic film for me, Love Actually.
I got this job, brilliant, and I was a feature in it. It wasn't like anything massive. I didn't have a speaking role, but no. I did get to meet Bill Nighy and
Greg Fisher, yeah.
Amazing, yes, and have a little scene and have the best day ever. I got to meet everybody. I remember Liam Neeson offered me a toothpick. Wow. I actually remember. Not the one he was using. I remember he walked along and he was like, oh, would you like a toothpick? I went, no, thank you.
Would you like my toothpick? Would you like to borrow my toothpick?
What is it? What's the lines that he says on I'll kill? What is he saying?
I have some very special skills.
I've got toothpicks.
And a toothpick. The things I can do with a toothpick.
If there's anything in your tooth, I will find it. I will prick it.
But yeah, I got to meet Hugh Grant, everybody.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant, actually 2 days, because they went to use me, didn't work, then we did it again the next day. You know what filming's like.
I do. What was Greta's role? It was in the airport, right?
Greta was in the airport and she was just one of Bill's characters, one of his many women.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she was pushing all the luggage, like, oh, God, not again.
It's a problematic film, though, Love, actually, don't you think?
Well...
In hindsight. Yeah. I watched Love Actually on my own once when I was a bit depressed. I started crying so much, I thought, not of the film... That I thought I was never going to be able to stop crying. That's what I have a problem. I was watching. I was depressed already. Then I watched the film and it made me not like, oh, Love Actually. I was weeping, like my soul was exposed, and Love Actually had opened up the hole in me.
And is that why you don't like it?
And it's partly that, and also like all the women are commodities in it to be sort of handed around between.
I know. I don't think you've seen it, have you?
No. I've seen the bit with you in it.
Yeah, that's it. Basically, Jim, look, here I am, quick, look.
Was acting something? I mean, you've done a few acting jobs.
I have, yeah. I've done loads of modelling. I've done a few things with you, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. You've been in a lot of things. But you used to play prostitutes in EastEnders, didn't you, quite often?
I played a prostitute in...
Was it just one? No,
I was in EastEnders. I had a scene with Janny. I can't remember, but I was a prosy.
Right.
I should say working girl, so well, yeah, I don't know...
I think prosy's not Latin.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, I think prostitute's still quite bad, but these days... a sex worker, I think, would be...
What did I say? Working girl? I don't know what I'm saying.
The lady of the night.
In the bill. And I was with DC Carver. Anyone remember him in the bill? Yeah. I had my own massage parlour and everything.
Wow.
It was great.
The only parts I get offered are people who use prostitutes. It's gender. I've done a role where I hired Michael Spicer, who went on to do the room next door. You know, that fantastic thing. I changed bodies with a sex worker, but then I became the sex worker, and we sort of went through with the deed.
Even though I was a bit confused.
It was an experimental short film. I didn't have to do any business. I was just sitting on the bed afterwards, going, I don't know why that happened. I don't know what's going on. I'm often just a pervert. In a bush.
They're the parts you get. I wrote
a script once, an outline of a script once, where, and it was Bob was a male sex worker on a tiny Scottish island.
I remember this! And
all the men were infertile because of anthrax or something that was floating around.
This should still happen.
So they all went to, he was hired in, and they all went to him. So he
to
was
be impregnated.
He populated the whole. And so it was full of clones. The whole island.
Wasn't your character standing by the caravan whilst they all went in?
Yeah, I was the pimp.
Were you infertile as well, Jim?
No, this is all the islanders were. That's why I brought in.
You could have helped out with Bob. You could have impregnated some of the people. Well, isn't there a danger if you have a lot of people on an island who are all got the same dad that it's going to end up in trouble? Is that where it went?
I think as far as I remember, it's quite a good script. I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah, it sounds brilliant.
Bob didn't know why I'd taken him to this island.
I think you should still do it. What's your character? I want to know what.
I was just the pimp.
Like.
I just took him that. It's a way of making money.
You like
money.
John Fowler?
Yeah. What do you think? How long is this going to go on?
I was just checking the time. It's all right. Because it's going very quickly, so you know, it's all good.
We've got good chat.
I want to talk to Nancy about the fact that you love Marmite.
I love Marmite.
Yeah, I love Marmite.
Oh my God. How much do I love it?
Like, a lot. Every day.
So when I was little, me and my sister and I wrote to the Marmite Company. I think that's all we wrote on the envelope. Marmite Company, please get there. Just saying how much we love it. And somehow it got there and we got sent back the biggest jar of Marmite. And that was only last week. No, I was like, little,
How much can you eat at a time?
Can you
eat a spoonful?
Oh, yeah.
Big spoonful?
Yeah.
Serving spoonful?
It's getting big now. I absolutely
put it on roast potatoes the other day.
Yes, you did. That was my suggestion.
Would you be willing to tell the story about when I said, come and meet me in Greenwich?
Oh, the Marmite Museum.
She said, I'm outside the Marmite Museum. I said, where's that then? I went, oh, you mean the Maritime Museum.
Thank you, Jim. All right, I missed a few letters out. All right, I can read, by the way.
It would be better if it was a Marmite Museum.
Very grand one.
Do you know what? It's because I love Marmite. It's on my brain. What can I say? I see Marmite everywhere. Should we go to the Marmite Museum?
Yeah, I like the Marmite Museum.
There's a bit of the English patient. I was in Australia on my own, feeling a bit depressed. I don't just go to see films when I'm depressed.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I watched The English Patient. It's a very long film.
Yeah.
And there's a...
Ralph Fiennes.
And there's a bit where they say something like to Kristin Scott Thomas or something. They say, what's your favourite thing in the world? And I thought, Marmite.
Mm.
And she said Marmite at the same time.
Oh, come on.
And I went, fucking hell. I mean, what's the chances of someone saying Marmite
so
on that?
So you love Marmite.
I love Marmite enough that it's my... But so does that character in that film.
Were you in the cinema?
I was in the cinema,
Did you blurt that out?
Marmite!
I'm going to say, stop spoiling the film! Spoilers!
Actually, can I just say, when I was pregnant, I was determined for the twins to love it. And
yeah.
No, it wasn't happening.
Don't like it?
No, they... morning sickness, but yeah, it was not good. And I was like, you will like Marmite, you will. And they do.
Okay, they do.
Well, Neil likes it more.
Do yeah. you, how do you stand on Marmite peanuts? You have
yeah,
those?
I'm good yeah. with them. I'm yeah. good with Marmite crisps.
Yeah.
You know, Snacker Jacks.
Marmite, they don't really Snacker taste Jacks. Like Marmite, though, Marmite peanuts.
It I never
don't.
Does. It's not the real thing. Or dip it in the Marmite.
Yeah, that's better.
You know, go for that's it. Better.
I'm kind of anti-Marmite peanuts.
Are you?
We I think it. The peanut should just be salted and leave it at that.
Well, you don't like dry roasted, do you?
No, and I don't like salt and vinegar ones. I love salt and vinegar, but not on a peanut.
No, salt and vinegar. That's I have true, to, I have to disagree. Salt and vinegar are my favourite ones. I've found a company that makes there's a big jar out of salt and vinegar peanuts. You know what doesn't really happen with peanuts so much these days is you get the bottom packet and there's quite a nice amount of salt. Stuff at the bottom.
Yeah.
This jar of salt and vinegar peanuts I've got, I'm just halfway down and it's like you eat them and there's too much stuff on them. So I can't wait to get to the bottom of that jar. The bottom of that jar is just going to be... Oh, just amazing. See, I'll get amazing. My serving spoon.
Just a spoonful of salt and vinegar. When I was a kid, we used to go to the swimming baths, and we'd come out, get a packet of crisps and go into this cafe and just use all the condiments, pour them all into yeah. the crisps. So you'd have salt, vinegar.
Were you always starving? I used to be starving yeah, after swimming. Yeah, after wanted to out, eat yeah. everything.
So we used to eat, and we used to get thrown out for nicking all the condiments.
I heard you on another podcast saying you used to go to the fish and chip shops and ask for...
Scraps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's scraps?
Just the bits of batter. That you get them free.
Yeah.
Change.
So you go in...
Nothing's changed, though.
Us
Jim.
Poor kids would go in and say, please, sir, can we have some scraps?
So you didn't have a very healthy childhood, but it was you didn't pay for a single bit of food.
My mum was responsible for importing muesli.
Right.
She said, we've got this fantastic breakfast cereal called muesli, which is from Sweden.
Yeah.
And I've got some. And this was in like 1930 or something. But no one had heard of muesli.
Yeah.
And muesli's good.
And your mum was...
My mum was very adventurous. We had, you know, avocados before everyone else.
But you used to hide the veg in your pockets, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to put... I wasn't that keen on sprouts, which I adore now. But I used to put them in my pockets. And then I'm just going to the toilet and then chuck them down the toilet.
When is it your mum?
But then I forgot to take them out of my trousers one day and the sprouts did like mush them. When I put my trousers back on for school,
yeah.
There was like congealed sprout in the pocket.
Jim, what
so
are you
Bob's
like?
Pockets full of meat and your pockets are full of vegetables. Yeah. So that's why you work together so well.
That's it, isn't it? That's basically it.
And, you know, I talked to Bob recently on the podcast and about the two of you. Because there's sort of like rumours about you not getting on, which obviously in the Christmas episode of this, that I think that's put to bed because you were...
Yeah, I don't know why someone started that rumour, yeah. But there's no truth at all. We've always got on.
No, it's really lovely.
I'll tell you what it was. Someone said, do you talk to each other on the phone every day? I said, no, we hardly ever talk on the phone. And that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't really talk to
anyone.
I don't really. I think it's a kind of male thing. It's like when I'm on the phone talking to a male friend, it's, okay, I'll meet you in the pub. What time? Okay. See you there.
Yeah.
And that's it.
See, I can be on the phone for hours.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, you're on the phone. Nancy's on the phone for about 4 hours a day to a mum who lives next door.
What's wrong with that? Not that long.
Why don't you just go? She come down here, go and have a cup of tea instead of holding a phone. And
why not?
My second favourite fact from your book of birds: the coal tit has the most recorded fleas in a nest, 5,754.
Yeah,
is that true?
They were all counted personally by me. Yeah, they're all true.
They're all facts.
And I should say that 10% of your fee goes to the RSPB as well from this.
Yeah,
that's very nice.
Although I've never had any acknowledgement of that.
Really? Thank you for mentioning it.
No, it's good. Well, because you know, it is. You obviously love birds. And,
yeah,
and that's an important thing. But it's, you know, it's nice to do that.
Well, it's nice, yeah, you've got to keep the reserves open and like, you know, make places for them to live because they're all disappearing
yeah.
at a vast rate because of various things. It's like swifts are disappearing because there's nowhere for them to nest anymore. because of the way that houses are built. And you can get bricks that you've just put in your new house with a hole in you, with so swifts can get in there and nest. But people aren't doing it. It's not happening. So yeah. Things are disappearing. Very easy to solve the problems, but no one's doing anything about it.
No, and I remember, like, in the 70s, it feels to me like, I mean, I did live in the countryside for the most lot of that time, but it feels like there was a lot of bird noise. Like, there would the you know, it was very loud bird noise all the time, and I don't notice that anymore.
Well, it depends where you, where did you live.
They did some chuffs, though, didn't they?
It does, but
Dover, just saying about the chuffs.
Oh, there's chuffs, yeah. In Dover, chuffs nearby. Hello. They've actually bred them in Dover Castle, but they kind of just like hanging around Dover Castle now, trying to get them to go out on the cliffs, and they won't go. I was out on the cliffs the other day, and I was watching two ravens in a courtship dance.
Aww.
And then two peregrines in a courtship dance. Yes. And then when the two met, all hell let loose. And it was quite great. But this peregrine, I've never heard this before, but it made a noise like it. And they've got different peregrines, have got different calls, like, and there's warning calls and different. Got like ka ka ka, it's a warning call, but this when they say clear off, enemy, go away, it's more of a sort of like that. Right. But it's this peregrine did a sound just like a raven, and I think I might be onto something new.
So it's mimicking.
Yeah,
oh, that's clever, isn't it?
That is clever.
Blooming
owl. That's very interesting.
I can do a good owl, can't I?
Yeah. Which
is
one? Which one are you going to do?
Which is the
short-eared owl?
The James Brown one.
That's the James Brown one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think of James Brown, and then you can do it.
Because not all owls go twit twoo like we're told.
No, they don't.
If at all.
What were we saying? What is it? Every show, you know, like EastEnders, when it gets dark.
Yeah.
As soon as it gets dark, you hear whoo, wow, all these like birds.
Oh, this is, yeah. Like, by the way, no owls go twit twoo.
No, they don't. No, it's two owls.
It's two.
You've been reading. You've been reading.
One goes twit, the other one goes twoo.
Yeah.
But yeah, we always like it when there's a night scene on any drama. Mm. It's like whoever's in charge in the dub, like doing the mixing, the sound mixing, they're going like put a fox on. And an owl, yeah. And another fox, and then put a few owls on. And it's like, why do you have to tell us that it's night because we can see that? Unless, yeah. I mean, maybe if you're blind, you might want to know that it's a night scene, but you're in no doubt most of the time with on
as drama. Soon as it's dark, isn't it?
And it's the same thing when if you see an American drama, and they always go to a cabin by the lake before something terrible happens.
Yeah. Yeah, what's
but
that?
But you always hear a loon, which is like, which is a great northern diver in Britain. But you always hear one of those just to tell you, let you know something awful's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be a murder.
Right, I want to. There's an emergency question from the first time you were on. Is now there's new information. So I asked you in I think 2016 when you were first on this podcast, Jim. If you'd ever seen a ghost, and you told an amazing ghost story, about things moving around, planks moving around.
Yes,
I think there's an update to that.
There is an update, and I spoke to I was in a band called Trout, and it was a prog rock group.
I've got the top.
Yeah. And anyways, the guitarist, I rang him up about a couple of years ago, and I was asking him about the ghosts. He said that was me and my brother. We just had this. There was elaborate plans that they had. Planks did fly off tables, but it was his brother pulling it on fishing wire. I always thought there was this ghost came out of the door like a big egg shape of mist, and he was puffing all this like talcum powder through bellows out of the door.
Well, they were really going for it to scare you.
Yeah,
how
and
old
I believed
were you?
It for. Well, I was 16.
I would
17.
Have been so scared. That would have happened.
You told the story as if it had all happened. It was one of the
and
most amazing ghost stories.
I know, and I've now found out that it was all fiction.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I mean, I wish I'd just kind of kept it quiet.
Have you ever seen a... I know.
No, now I haven't.
Maybe they're responsible for all the ghost sightings, just those two boys. Went around.
Maybe, yeah.
I've had a few good ones over the years, but it's interesting to think that, you know, you would never think it would be that it would be that involved in that you wouldn't have twigged.
Well, Yeah, I mean,
so
I
believed it your whole
when
life.
It was a bombshell.
Yeah.
You know, a literal bombshell.
Yeah, because you told me that when I met you about
the ghost.
You
told me on the phone, and you must have seen the look on my face because I was on the phone. Yeah. You were there.
You looked like you'd seen a ghost.
It was. It was terrible, terrible news.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. I'll ask you another emergency
That's
question.
That's half of my dinner table story.
Well, I'll ask you an art-based emergency question that I've been asking a lot of people, but I don't think I've asked you before, and I definitely haven't asked Nancy before. If all the art galleries and museums of the world got together and said, we love your stuff, we're going to give you one thing that you can take home and keep, what? Is there a piece of art or it can be something from a museum, but I'm guessing it might be a piece of art that you would like to own?
Well, there's a difference, isn't there? I mean, you could say for something that was fabulously expensive.
A pre-Raphaelite painting.
To own.
I'd say pre-Raphaelite painting.
Which one would you like, darling?
What's the...
Ophelia.
Rosetsky. Yes, very beautiful.
Greg Rosetsky.
No, what's his name? No, Rossetti. Rossetti. Yeah. Sorry, Rossetti.
The painting of Ophelia.
I'd like a Greg
by Greg Rosetsky.
I'm going to get you a Greg Rudetsky. I'm going to email him and say, can you draw something?
Can you get me Ophelia, please? Thank you. Yeah. Or the Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa would be nice. Is there anything you'd like, Jim?
I would like our friend Cornelia Parker did the Bates Motel, house.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And it was like half size, and it was on the roof of the Museum of Modern Art, I think.
Right.
So I'd have that in my garden as a kind of, just a little shed.
That would be cool.
That is a good
choice. Well, we've got some good art, though, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
So, you know.
I mean, if you got art by other people other than yourself, you get,
we've got a dining room.
We haven't got any of mine in the house. Well, apart from a couple of old ones. But, we've got
There's a few portraits of Jim everywhere. I'm like,
We've got quite a lot of people who won the Turner Prize. Which I did swaps with.
Right.
Peter Blake.
Yeah. You've got Peter Blake. Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know, isn't it, whether in value-wise and in history-wise, with art, you never know what's going to stay current and what's going to...
Well, there can be... Yeah, you can spend a lot of money on something and then it can just drop.
Yeah.
And it's like out of fashion and just plummets.
Do you think a Jim Moyer in the future is going to be multi-million?
Well, I'll tell you what, in the news, because I sold quite a lot off my website, but in the news it said I had a brain tumour and suggested that I was going to die.
Right.
And the sales shot up.
Oh, my God, that's so true, isn't it? Yeah. Is true.
Yeah.
You became very rich.
Overnight.
Sorry, we.
But as long as... But you'll die eventually, so they'll get their money back eventually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you think anyone's ever... Because there was rumours that Andy Warhol wasn't dead.
Right.
And he did to see how the prices would go. But I don't believe that. But, I mean, has anyone ever done that?
Fake their own death in order to make their work...
Jim, why don't you do it? Yeah. Jim, do it.
I got in a canoe. That's a good idea. Shall I do that?
Yeah, that's not been done before, is it?
Well, let's. I hope that your paintings remain worthless for a good while. Yeah. And that's the nicest compliment I can give. and Nancy, there's lots of things I want to talk to you about, but I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That was
I mean, you both were in it, yeah.
Yeah, I went in it, and then Jim was the surprise to come in later. No one liked that. I did.
Yeah, that's sort of cheating, isn't it, to get your part? I mean, the point is, did the other campmates feel, like, bad that you had your partner in there?
I don't know, really, no. I mean, I think Joe Pasquale twigged that Jim was coming in.
Right.
And I was like, they said, don't say anything. But it's fun, isn't it? Just going along. It was only 4 days later, then Jim came in on a... basket going across. It was a good experience, and I'd never done anything like that before, especially camping, and I was like outside. It was great. I loved it.
A lot of people say it's like, like Grace Dent had to leave because it was too emotionally draining, and the food, you're not eating
You don't eat, you have to just get used to that, because
You know. I had a great time.
Well, we did. Jim came in, you were painting. Yeah, Jim was painting, believe it or not.
Did you let you take paints in, or were you just using nature?
Charcoal and water, and I ripped up some bed sheets and made a sketchbook and some reeds to make pens and did some. And I made a huge sculpture as
they
well.
They didn't care about
and
that
I don't,
sculpture.
They weren't
did
interested.
Didn't
in
you
that.
Call it Ron?
Ron, okay. River God, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. But they weren't interested in it.
No one would. Yeah, but Jim, you did. We all like, wore makeup because you did it out of the charcoal.
I made
and we
makeup
were all
doing for makeup. The ladies.
Makeup for the ladies. Yeah, it was great fun. We really enjoyed it. And we were out first. So
and
we
I worked out.
Did you go out together? Was that they said?
Yeah,
you
they
both
got
there?
Rid of me. Got rid of Jim. Wow. And we were like having a good time. Yeah. So.
And then do you get to hang around in the hotel for 2 weeks while everyone else is in there?
Yeah, it was pretty
it was
much
like
a week.
Luxury hotel and holiday. So we just went. Jumping around in the sea. I broke my ribs in the sea.
You broke your ribs in the sea, yeah. So
and a wave. Imagine
by
that.
A wave?
A wave hit me in the chest and broke one of my ribs.
Wow.
Yeah, he was like a little boy out there jumping in the sea.
I was in Barbados and this is at the beginning of my book actually, but it wasn't deep water, but it was quite a rough sea. And I got knocked over on my head and hit my head on the sort of quite stony sand. But my testicle, the one gone, swelled up to about four times its normal size, and I hadn't hit my hit my testicle.
What?
I hit my head.
So your head cools down.
I hit my head, and I think they said the doctor I went to when I got back home said I'd might rip my stomach line, and it's all kind of connected. And I had this massive bollock, which might be the catalyst for why it kind of eventually turned into this in this thing. But when I flew home, it was like an altimeter, my testicle. So that. When you changed
you mean
height,
it floated.
When you changed height, the pain would change. So I would know when you go up and down because it would hurt. The higher it went, the more it would hurt.
So you could dictate. You could tell what height you were.
Yeah, it was like a sort of
what
superpower.
What did you do? What did you do about when you got home?
I can't exactly remember.
I want to know what happened.
I went to the doctor.
It would get worse.
I went to that
got.
Showbiz doctor on
Doctor Forecast.
There's a showbiz doctor you always go to before you go and do
Dr.
Fives.
He was a bit weird, creepy, I think, in hindsight, but not for me. Mm. So I won't say his name. I can't quite remember what it was.
I just said it.
But it wasn't him. and I can't remember. I think he might have given me some pills, but he said it will go. I think he said it will go down.
It would go, and it did.
And it did go down, but then it fell off.
So,
oh my God.
So the
eventually,
pain would.
I mean,
increase
it did fall off someone.
The higher you got.
Yeah, yeah, it was quite interesting.
20,000 feet. It was 30,000 feet.
It wasn't very pleasant. But it was sort of, it's sort of weird the way. I mean, it's amazing a wave can break your ribs.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. Oh, I had actually got my rib had been cracked previously.
Yeah, by an actor.
By it wasn't Bobby Carlyle.
I was
in a film with Robert Carlyle.
Yeah.
And Jimmy...
Jimmy, the big tall Scotsman.
Oh, what's his name? Yeah. You know, the great big Scotsman.
Jimmy Cosgrove. Is it
Jimmy?
Ross Abbott doing Jimmy AU, Jimmy.
Jimmy Cosmo.
Okay, yeah.
And
what did I say? Cosgrove.
So, Bobby Carlyle to break me wrist on a curbstone.
You were dressed as a clown, weren't you, and Bob?
And Jimmy Cosmo had to jump on my back. And he's like 6'8" and weighs like 20 stone. So he jumped, and I had a big harness on, like this huge big harness thing to stop my ribs from cracking. He jumped on me back and cracked me ribs.
He jumped on me back and cracked me ribs. It's like a song. I remember when you came home, you couldn't move.
Yeah, and then when we went there, because they hadn't fixed, so a wave hit him, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that's Australia. But it was, I think it was good fun.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, it sounds
we
all
survived
right.
it.
Did you have to eat?
No, we got out before we had to do anything.
Yeah. we didn't have to eat. Yeah. Was it testicles?
Testicles. One of my testicles could be sent over next time. So it's a very odd show. I mean, that's the inside. They cover the inside. I don't think I wouldn't like to be filmed asleep. That's the only problem I have with it.
No, because I snore,
I dribble, I fart. I don't want that on telly.
I've never seen it. It sounds really boring.
Yeah. You've never seen the show?
No.
No.
I talk in my sleep, don't I? So
you always.
Not good.
And then the other, she talks.
Don't say anything weird.
No. What you said the other night, you said there's a croaker in the radiator.
What
are you talking about? She said, a croaker, you know, in the red. I said, what? She went, frog.
See, I don't even know what's going on.
A croaker. You've never called a frog a croaker, have you?
But don't you think that's cute? A croaker. I'm going to call one that from now on. There's a croaker in the rad. Didn't you say I got up? I actually sat up as well in bed.
Last night you did, yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Who's there? That's quite often. Who's there?
Is that an impression of me? Yeah.
Who's there? I can hear you. I can hear you creeping about. Who's there?
Bill! Fagin, where are you?
It sounds like you're having nice dreams. Yeah. My wife, the only thing my wife, every now and again in the middle of the night, will just go, no! That's all she ever does.
Really? Oh, my God. I don't know what's happening to me.
No.
It's like every night.
Yeah.
You can get those apps, can't you, that you can listen to. I don't know if I want that.
No.
I don't know if I want to hear myself back being weird.
No, I don't want to hear my... I snore, but I feel like I'm awake, and my wife will go, shut up, and I'll be... I'm going, I'm not even asleep. And she's going, well, you're snoring, and I go, well, I can't hear myself snoring, so I must be asleep. But in my mind, I'm fully awake. And just going, oh, I can't
get
asleep.
You were snoring, and I nudge you. But he says, stop nudging me. And I'm like,
shut up! I'm sleeping!
It's the croaker in the radiator, it's not me.
There's a croaker in the rad. He goes...
Lovely. So look, the hour's gone by very, very quickly. And so let's just... So people should... The Painting Birds with Jib and Nancy's all on Sky anyway. So it's on Sky.
Don't miss
so it's on,
people.
You can get that on your... If you've got Sky, you can get that. And there's a new series.
You can get it if you don't have Sky, you can get it on Terrestrial.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. I've forgotten the number of the...
Some of those distant numbers.
Okay. We'll keep flicking them through till we hit it. It's really great. And the book is fantastic as well. Birds by Jim Moyer. So tell us what's coming. There's a series with you with kids.
Another of our series on Sky Arts coming out soon.
And then they're showing the first series before that as well.
And then another book in October.
Yay!
Yeah, brilliant.
And plenty of paintings on the website.
And it just feels to me like both of you just have your whole life is a party.
We even have fun when we're asleep, didn't we?
The best time. Yeah. it's so nice. I think it's so great to get to a point where... You know, like you can, like you say, you can do anything. People are trying to get you on TV, both of you on TV, and you can go, no, okay, I'll do that if I can do this under my own terms. It's sort of the perfect place to be.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, as an artist and as an artist.
And we're going home now to watch Coronation Street.
Yeah, good. Well, I don't want to keep you from that. You've been on Coronation Street.
Yeah, Colin Callan.
Did 3 months on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
You loved it.
A dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Well, look.
It really was.
Can we see that? Is that still? Can we find that on a channel? Probably somewhere that's showing old Coronation Street. Really love to see you both. Thank you very much for coming
in.
Jim
and Nancy,
ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Come back next week. There'll be more. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Jim and Nancy Moyer. Thank you to Scant Regard for playing the music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, for all his hard work getting this thing going. To his son, Ben Evans, not that one. And to Beck and to George, who accompany me on these gigs. And to everyone at the Gulbenkian Theatre in Canterbury. What a wonderful place. It's lovely. Great to be back. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFosterStripe.com production.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.